Hello, and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast. My name is Taylor, and today I am joined by a guest that you probably know online already. He goes by Herm Runs on Instagram and TikTok and has been documenting his running journey for the last year and a half. I'm so excited to talk to him about his first marathon experience. So without further ado, please welcome Alex. All right, cool. Well, thank you so much, Alex, for coming on today. I guess we'll kind of just start from the beginning. I know your journey with running has been pretty public, so I'm sure a lot of people kind of know where you started from. But for those that don't, how did your running journey begin?
First of all, thank you for having me. But also, like, you know, as much as it's public, it's really not. I do talk about, like, the start of my running journey pretty frequently, just how it kind of, I went to the New York City Marathon, watched it, and said, I need to go do this. But that whole first 6 months was undocumented. And, like, that was the true ugliest part of it, right? That was the part that, like, nobody, including myself, wanted to watch back. But also, I now look at it and, like, it could have been incredibly helpful. I wish that I, even if it was just for my own personal files, to, like, have that documentation and be like, I really went through this. Like, it really was horrible for a little bit.
Totally.
Because, like, I think when I started was literally, 3 days ago, a year ago today. So we started making it a public journey a year ago. And by that point, I could run, you know, 13 miles.
Sure.
I could, you know, push through some faster miles. I didn't really have a chance to show the complete ugly side of it. So it is very public, but also I've tried to make it more of like a personal thing recently. So yeah, that's kind of where we're at now. And then it all culminated really with a big old New York City marathon the next year.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a crazy marathon start is the New York City marathon for your first one. But that's interesting. I guess I didn't realize that there was a lot of your story in the beginning that wasn't documented. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that because when you're a newer runner, you probably think there's not a lot to be documented. I'm going through the ringer on everything. Nobody wants to see this.
I don't even want to watch what I was doing those days, right? I mean, it was a mixture of like trying to navigate the space myself because I've been a running shoe fan, like a running. I love to believe in the run. I've loved Kofuzi for multiple years now because my girlfriend was into running and watched them, and I found them so fascinating. Like, I found the kind of fashion and technology of running to be so fascinating. But I was like, you'll never see me doing it. It's just interesting these cats do it. So like I was so fascinated in that part of it. And then as soon as I got into it, I'm like, wow, they're talking about going for easy Wednesday 10-mile runs. Like, what the hell is that? I mean, my first goal, you know what's funny? I haven't ever talked about this actually. It's like my first real goal with running after I like kind of figured it out was to get to 10 miles. Because at 10 miles, I felt like I could start to carry fuel with me and I could go like, get my first like real faster shoe, you know?
I'm
trying to convince myself that I had to get to this point where I could like start using gels and feel like it's going to
It's a reward.
A reward, right. I mean, only I'm looking at running far enough to eat as a reward. But
That's cool. I mean, I agree. I think the technical side of running is something that you don't fully wrap, can't really fully wrap your head around in the beginning. You're just focusing on not dying, building distance, building stamina. And some of that comes a little bit later, but it's cool that you kind of had the opposite experience. You were more interested in the running space ahead of time and then kind of worked your way into it.
I think it was so fascinating. It's just like, I remember as a kid, I was terrified of mascots. Still am, actually. I'm a 27-year-old man who doesn't want to be around the Philly Fanatic. And I would have nightmares about these mascots, but then I'd wake up and I'd research them. Like, I'd want to know everything about it. And I think that I approached running in a very similar vein in the sense that, like, I was terrified of it. I mean, just the thought of it was so intimidating. But I had to learn about it, and I had to go explore it to the best of my ability. And, you know, I guess here we are now, but
it all worked out. I'm just still
in this research development process.
So I'm curious, you said your girlfriend was into running before you. So how long was she running for before you decided this is something that I want to do as well?
So she wasn't really a formal runner, probably. She probably started about a year ahead of me. So she was living over in London at the time, finishing out her undergraduate degree. And she just went, she was like, her favorite spot in London to work out was this place called Cobox. It was like boxing exercise. But she was like, Cobox is getting way too expensive. I need to just, I'm going to go buy some running shoes and I'm just going to start running. She fell in love with it rather quickly. And she's a natural athlete, like built like an absolute just horse. Like she can run fast and run forever. It's just never been.
Must
tough.
Be nice.
I know. I know. And so she got into it and she like just won 10K after another, like start. And she's like, I'm going to do a half marathon. I'm like, whoa, slow down.
Pump the brakes.
So I quite literally flew over to London because I thought she might die doing a half marathon. Like I thought that if you run 13 miles, you probably have a better chance of death. So, which is like, now that I look back, I literally just got back from a run where I ran 18 miles.
Almost there. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. It's crazy. So, that's so she got into it, and then I watched her train through the whole New York City Marathon process, and literally to the day that I dropped her off at the bus before the marathon, was like, I'm never doing this. You'll never catch me run. Like, it's just not for me. And then you go to the marathon, and you get overcome by emotion. You start watching people. You don't realize, like, until you actually go to a marathon, because, like, who the hell, if you don't like running, why the hell would you go watch a marathon, right? But you don't realize that when you go there, you are going to see people of all shapes, sizes, that look like you, that don't look like you, but you can empathize with, and you're like, wait, they're, like, normal people out here. Not everybody is, like, runner stereo, like, the stereo runner. And it's like, there's something so comforting about that and so emotional that I was just like, I gotta do this.
You gotta do it.
You have to, right? It's like, I would probably feel the same way, I have to imagine, if I was at like even a 10K or something. Like, it's just like, okay, you don't have to, there's no stereotypical, you don't have to be one way to do this. And I found a lot of comfort in that.
Yeah. And I think the races too, I mean, you can totally start your running career and just build distance on your own, but the races are, that's the end point for a lot of people. So being able to be in the, that environment and not be a runner, I'm sure was just eye opening.
Oh, it's insane. Because like, when I think, like, if someone were to invite me to like, go watch the marathon, I'd be like, why would people run the streets in New York? Like, it just genuinely sounds like horrible. And then you're like, oh, this is actually a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Encouraging. Yeah, sure.
How many people, I mean, just for the people that don't know, how many people are racing the New York Marathon on a yearly basis?
I think it's, 52,000, I think they just did for 2024 or 2023 from the last one. Yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
No. I mean, it's crazy numbers of people. Like,
yeah.
And the even wilder part is last week the lottery closed with 165,000 candidates. Like, the running boom is happening right now, which is really, really awesome and fun. But also just marathon boom. Because, like, there's people starting right now that are just like, screw the 5K, the 10K and a half. I'm just going
to go straight for it.
I'm going for the big kahuna. Like, what is going on right now? We had too much time during COVID to, like,
think about it
and stuff. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, to your point, it's crazy. Like, I just pictured myself a year ago thinking about signing up for my first half marathon, and that seemed impossible. So for people to come out the gate and think marathon, it's like your mindset's different than mine, that's for sure.
Well, you know what's funny is my mindset has always been ultra marathon and then worked,
so you went even further.
the ultra marathon just fascinates me so much more. Like, the concept of, you know, everybody just being, like, okay with walking, okay with eating entire meals. That is so enticing to me. And, like, the two of, like, how far can I go? Because when I think of, like, 250 miles, that's insane. But also, that sounds so much cooler than running, like, a BQ, in my
opinion. Oh, totally. Like,
I think there's something about that. I feel like if the distance is long enough where people stop running it fast, there's something really cool about that. Like, you have to, like, you know, control yourself almost.
Yeah. And I think the playing field evens out a little bit, right? When everybody's kind of taking the pressure off to be in a dead sprint and win the race, you know, it takes a lot of the pressure off the longer the distance.
I mean, if you think about it, the fact that people run like as fast as they can for 26.2 miles, that's absurd. Like, crazy. That is genuinely insane to me. That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
There's no
totally fun. Does. Anytime I have to do interval training or any sort of speed training, I'm like, I'm kicking myself. I would much rather be in a consistent, slow, steady pace than be booking it for 26 miles.
It just makes sense, right? Like, let's just keep it easy. I have recently fallen in love with 800s. I don't know what it is about the distance. I think it's more or less the reward of walking for 2 minutes in between intervals that I've like fallen in love with. But it's so much fun. I there's something about just pushing for a little while and then, you know, we get to walk.
Take a little break,
It's the mental, like, I'm okay to walk now, right? Because even though I preach, like, that we shouldn't care about time and stuff, it still creeps up on all of us, right?
Totally,
Why am I walking so slow or why am I running so slow? So, like, the excuse to walk probably feels pretty good, too.
Yeah. So you've kind of got both ends of the spectrum then. You like the interval stuff, but you're aiming for the ultra stuff as well.
It's either got to be really short and hard or just...
or super long and grueling. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's cool. Okay, cool. So that's where you were started. So when you, I guess, did you sign up for the marathon right away, right after that first New York City marathon that you were at? You were like, I'm going for this whole thing, or what was next for you?
So there's, of course, like the week buzz where you're just like, this is my goal. And I throw on the shoes. And then that week kind of fades off. And you, like, for me, I couldn't run more than half a mile max at a time. Yeah. I'm like, maybe we don't think about the next New York City Marathon, but we like push it to like the year after New York City Marathon. Mm-hmm. But I stuck with it. And I felt like I had been like reading self-help books at the time. I was in a weird place. I was transitioning from like an overnight job where like I was just mean all the time because I was never sleeping. And I was just like, I need to figure out something in my life, right? And someone said something about like 21 days is a habit. So I was like, we have to just run until December. If we still hate it at the beginning of December, done. It's fine. We don't have to run anymore. But then, like, November 30th, or however many days there are in November, I went on a great run-walk, and it was just beautiful outside, and I was like, damn it, they got me.
They got it, yeah.
So then December comes around in January, and that's when lottery starts opening up for New York City, so I, of course, register for the lottery, don't get in. I had luckily, at the same time, been researching organizations to run for charity, which is such an underrated way to run the marathon. I think that it really helped a lot of people and get to run the marathon. And I found this wonderful organization, Minding Your Mind, that I'm still in contact with to this day, that helps, you know, work through the stigma of talking about your mental health as kids. They go to schools and really try and emphasize the importance of speaking out about how you're feeling.
That's huge.
That's so important.
Yeah.
And I wrote an essay for them, like, the same day that I registered for the lottery, because I was like, you know, I might as well be one of the first people to write in, I guess.
Yeah.
And luckily they accepted my essay. And, you know, then next thing you know, I'm running the New York City Marathon and raising money for a great cause.
Very cool. So I guess for people who aren't familiar, and I'm honestly not as familiar with that process either. I've heard it's a great way to get in other than the lottery, but the process really is just writing some sort of letter. Is there an application process, I guess, if you don't mind kind of breaking it down a little bit?
For sure. I think they're all a little bit different. So I think there are some that you don't have to do any kind of written. It's literally just an application, you know, and like some of them are kind of strange where it's like you say auction. So it's like auction style where it's like, I will pledge to raise $5,000. And whoever, you know, gets to the top gets the spot. That's some of them. But for me, it's an application with a written piece. And for me, it was just a super baseline question, like how does mental health affect your day-to-day life or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And and I mean, if you go and check out the NYR website, they have a whole list of all of the organizations that you can apply to. Some organizations have 5 bibs. Some of them have 2 bibs. Some of them have 1,000 bibs. So, what's the main one? Team for Kids. Team for Kids has a ton of bibs. And I don't think they have a written part on their application. I think it's just first come, first serve. So
okay,
that one fills up pretty quick. There's a bunch of ways. So if you don't get into a charity spot, you can save it for the next year. If you live close to New York, you can do their 9+1 program, which is run nine New York Roadrunner races and volunteer at one. Or you could run the virtual marathon the year before and get an entry into the next year's, which is, that's a pretty
cool. Oh, I didn't know that one either. Yeah.
Yeah, my buddy Corey did that one, and I'm like, that's kind of brilliant.
That's cool.
Like,
yeah.
Sign up for a spring marathon, whichever one you want, and then just record it as your virtual marathon. You're getting two marathons out of the way for one, and you get your entrance into the New York City Marathon with the regular speed, which is, you know, not as bad.
Yeah, that's super smart. I'm going to have to look into it because I've done the lottery a couple times and haven't gotten in. So I figured there were some alternative ways, but that's really good information. I didn't know that.
And then Kofuzi said there's the last way, which is to become a video influencer running.
Sure.
And, you know, do that. So
yeah,
there's always
easier
that.
Said than done, but
it's definitely easier said than done. But
yeah,
it is possible. I can confirm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. Okay, great. So you signed up for the New York City Marathon, or you got in with your charity, and then I'm sure you were starting to kind of plan out training. What training, if you followed any sort of like training programs, or if you put something together yourself, what did training look like for you?
Yeah, so I can't remember if I had my coach yet. I don't think I did, but I got a coach.
Okay.
His name is Nick. He's awesome. I always shout him out in my stories and stuff, but he came to me really early on. Like I don't think I had even been, I think I started marathon training solo, like kind of just base building. I was basically following my girlfriend's plan, but running like half the mileage, because she was running 45 miles a week and I was not ready for that. So it was very similar to that. And then I want to say I brought my coach on late April, early May. And, he kicked that plan to the side.
Yeah.
Like, no. This is a little bit elite for what we're trying to accomplish here.
And pump I was the like, brakes.
You're right.
Yeah.
So he and I came together, and he's been literally the best for me. I mean, he understands me really well. This is one of the most important things. I get questions a lot of, like, should I hire a coach? Should I not hire a coach?
Yeah.
For me, I never wanted a coach. I never wanted someone I had to report to, someone I had to tell things to. He's so good about not doing that for me. He lets me do what I need to do. He obviously prescribes everything for me, but he lets me make my decisions. Like if I need, like this weekend, for example, yesterday I did not want to run in the rain and wind for the sixth day in a row. It was just not happening. So I was like, dude, I'm going to go run 6 miles in that, but I'll do my long run tomorrow. Like it's not prescribed that way. I was supposed to do my long run yesterday, but I'm like, I'm not doing that. And he was like, yeah, totally fine. You're not hurting anything doing that. And you're, you know, set up for yourself for success in London.
Sure.
So we've been working together now for almost a whole year, which is crazy, but he's been really, really awesome in the sense that like he kept me from hurting myself, because that is something that I would do, because I went into marathon training thinking, okay, so for a 10K half, you run at least the distance of the race you're about to run.
Yeah.
Probably got to do that for a marathon too, right? No, you should not run 26.2 miles before you run the marathon.
Sure.
Even if you think it'll fix your mental part, because that was my thing. I'm like, I just need to know that I can do it, right?
Yeah, the unknown, it's scary for sure.
Yes, especially on race day with all the other, you know, things going on. So he was like, we're not doing that. And then he also implemented great things like stacking my long runs, where it's like, okay, Saturdays and Sundays, we're going to go 10 on Saturday, 16 on Sunday. We're going to go 11 on Saturday, 11 on Sunday, whatever, you know, formula he uses. I found that was the best way for me to build fitness. It's when I'm running an entire medium long run on tired legs that Sunday.
Yeah.
Just really kind of taking that, the 3 hour rule, I guess.
And
putting in play a little bit, because I don't know any of the technical stuff there.
Yeah.
And this is why I couldn't be allowed on my own anymore. Cause I would just go crazy. It would just be like, what do I feel like doing today? And just do
yeah.
it.
And yeah, whatever feels right.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of the time it would probably just be like a 5K just long enough for me
yeah,
to
right.
go for the day.
And then head and back then good up. To go. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's cool. I haven't talked to many people that have had a run coach through their first marathon. So I'm sure there was a lot coming your way pretty early on that you maybe knew or did not know what to do with. So I guess what did an average week look for you in the beginning, say like the first 1 to 2 months that you were training? How quickly did he kind of get you going on the longer runs?
So I want to say that I think my longest run to date before I started working with him was 15 miles. And
okay.
for some reason, that was like a very, I need to get to 15. I can't remember why I felt that way in my head, but it was that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I want to say I had been up to 15 miles and I probably was running 30 miles a week. Right when we started training. So I want to say he kept me right there for probably the first 2 months in this, but what we would end up doing more mileage during the week. So I would, and so at the time I would probably run like 3-4 miles, 3 or 4 times during the work week, and then go out and do 13 to 15, like pretty much every weekend beforehand. So instead of that, he would have me go like 8 Monday, 6, Wednesday, recovery run Thursday, and then medium long run Saturday. That way,
okay.
I'm kind of, you know, getting more mileage built up in the mid part of the week.
Yeah.
Where I was like really struggling because I would come out of those long runs before I had started working with him and just be so sore. I'd be like, I can't run
sure.
you know, more than 3 miles because I'm recovering for next Saturday's long run.
Sure.
I would just beat myself up way too much. So kind of being consistent throughout the week was huge. And then also, I started with him, and I told him, dude, we are never doing speed work. Kind of like what we just talked about.
I was
like, I am never going to do it. That's not for me. I just want to run slow and steady the whole time. Literally what we just said. And he's like, okay, well, let's try and gamify it, right? Let's try and make it a little bit interesting. Because, like, it's going to help you a lot. Just, you have to trust it just a little.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, let's do fartleks. And every time I see a... It's like every time I see a red car or every time I saw a Red Sox logo, pick it up for 30 seconds. And that's it. It's nothing crazy. It's just, let's just get the legs moving a little bit. And then he introduced strides. And I didn't mind strides because it was just really quick at the end of the workout. Like, do 5 of these and you're good.
Yeah.
And then I kind of fell in love with 800s, like I just said. So
yeah, yeah. You just have to find a creative way into it sometimes.
Exactly. And then you realize it's not scary. It's It sucks sometimes. Like mile repeats, those are not fun.
Not fun.
They're not fun at all.
Nope.
I've taken like a full minute off my easy pace.
Yeah.
Since we started working. So, and it's one of those things too, I don't even realize it, right? Because I'm like just in it. You don't think about the long haul, but we were on my call yesterday for my game planning for London. And I was like, well, in New York, I came out of the gate a little bit hot. I ran a few 9:45 miles, which was like, I want to say like a full minute and a half faster than goal pace. And and then it was funny because I'm like, if I come out in London at that pace, I'm right on. So it's like crazy. It's we're making moves here. I mean, I don't think I'm going to come out that hot in London, but we'll see.
It's funny how it progresses like that, though. Like you said, you really don't realize it until you're on or at race day, or you record a run, or somebody points it out to you that how much you're actually improving. Or like for me, sometimes I'll see, since I've been kind of documenting from the beginning, I'll have a post pop up from a year ago or something like that, and I'll see a 13-minute mile on my running app, and I'm like, oh, okay, great. I thought I was doing like running like shit this week, but I'm compared to last year, I'm fantastic. You know. It's all perspective.
Like, I ran like a 11-15 mile because I was about to. I needed a bathroom like as soon as possible.
Yeah,
I was like shuffling. I'm like, I'm not moving. And then I was like, oh wait, a year ago, this was marathon.
This is great. Like, yeah,
this is exactly where I would want to be. So it's just like another. It's a series of trying not to beat yourself up. I mean, it's so easy,
totally.
Especially when. We're kind of in this weird, like, the transition of the seasons right now because people are going into a marathon where they're starting a marathon training block. And it's like, where am I? am I either ready for this marathon or how much fitness did I lose after the last one?
Right, right.
We're all in the head case right now.
Oh, totally, totally. Yeah. At all points in the running training programs, it's always a head thing. So did your coach also do programs around like nutrition and hydration and all that? Did he teach you about that pretty early on, or was that something that you developed on your own?
So I want to say we had conversations about it. So to be completely transparent, in college, I had an ED. Trigger warning for anybody who's listening, but I really struggled with, you know, bulimia and keeping food in and, mm-hmm. you know, eating to fuel myself. It was really bad. I mean, I played college baseball and so much of it was just told like, dude, you gotta lose weight. You gotta lose weight. The trainers put me on caffeine pills to like literally make me sweat. Like when I was in class, it was
so
bad.
Terrible.
Yeah. So it's like, I went through that in college and I knew that if I went down any kind of nutrition path with working out at the same time, I'm right back there. Like it just like one of those things that like, you know, mentally you work through it and you understand yourself well enough to be like, this isn't something I should think about even in the slightest.
Yeah.
Now I've worked on that relationship really hard and we do have a little bit of a nutrition thing going on outside of just what we're doing on the runs, but it was really just started with, dude, just eat what you can on the runs. Like, go and that's how the donut thing started. It's like, I didn't like sucking down gels. Like, it didn't feel like it did anything for me.
Yeah.
It still doesn't really feel like it. I need whole food. So I started eating donuts, or I started eating pizza, or I started eating McDonald's. Like, it was literally like anything that I saw on the run. As long as I knew that I was taking in some sodium and some carbs, we're great. We're good.
Good to go.
And we're going to keep going. So it's like, you know, you have to kind of figure that out on your own. And then you can go back to your coach like I did and was like, hey, so on race day, like I can take like four gels before I'm like, I need to eat a donut, an Uncrustable, something along those lines.
Yeah.
And we've dialed it in now. I mean, everybody burns fuel so much differently, right?
Sure. Yeah.
I burn like an absolute like coal train or whatever those things, caboose. Like I cannot take in enough fuel. So like today I ate 3 sleeves of Cliff Blocks just because it's like the whole time I have to be eating something just to keep it going. I'm also a salty sweater. So have to keep the sodium up. It's
sodium,
crazy.
Yeah.
So those are great conversations that I've had with my coach and that like learned from and like I've gotten sick from things. I mean, only once, the New York City Marathon was like the first time I had ever thrown up, which is crazy. I have a stomach of steel. I literally do an eating on the run series where I eat all of the foods you can think of. But the New York City Marathon, for some reason, I started throwing up and my stomach couldn't handle it. So what happened? What was different that day? What can we work on? So like today on my long run was just a practice run. Today was what we were going to do in London. We're going to eat Cliff Blocks throughout. We're going to slide some salt in there once in a while. And hopefully my mom can find me with a Uncrustable or donut or something around my screen.
Yeah. The team is important to have around you for sure.
Oh, so important. It's it's so underrated. And
totally.
it's also kind of a curse because it's the thing that gets your heart rate spiked. So like, when I was in New York, I saw them at mile 14 for the first time, and my heart rate was 190 for the first time.
Yeah, the adrenaline kicks in, and you're like, my fans!
A 9-minute mile after.
Yeah.
Where
did that come from? Okay, so, cool. Let me listen to an audiobook.
Exactly.
Let me bring you down,
boring book.
And
settle back in.
Yep. Well, thank you for sharing that about fuel, because I feel like that's something that not a lot of people realize is how independent the fuel journey is for everybody. Like, I felt something similar. I didn't have a great relationship with food before either. I definitely felt like I needed to take in less and burn more calories to be a runner, because that's just what was taught to me at like as an athlete in high school and through college was you want to eat less and burn more calories. But then you have one run where you're running on an empty stomach and you feel like shit and you're like, okay, something needs to change here. I need to start treating food like fuel and not like, you know, something that I should be limiting myself on.
Exactly. And it's like the people that are like calories in, calories out. Well, it's calories in, calories out. You'll never catch up in running.
Totally.
It's
a losing battle. Yeah.
And then you'll just always be hurt and feeling like crap and nobody wants that. It's the it's the funniest thing, the way that like the running world has just been so misconstrued because of like these stereotypes, that it's like somebody, so we had to break in somehow and, you know, start to explore how these things actually work, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and there's so much. I mean, the running community is awesome. Don't get me wrong. There's so many people out there that I've learned with, like, or learned from, and it's crucial. But because the community is so vast and everybody's so different, there's a lot of different opinions that come in. And I knew for me, like when I was first getting started, it was too much. There was too much information. I'd hear one person would tell me this thing and another person would tell me this thing, and they'd be completely opposites for the same topic. You know what I mean? So I think it's just important to keep reiterating that it's your journey. You have to do what's best for you, what feels right for you. And there's no like silver bullet to running. Definitely.
Not at all. It's so unique. And that's what makes running so expensive, because you genuinely just have to try everything.
You do. Trial and error.
Yeah, especially nutrition, right?
Definitely. I
mean, nutrition's not cheap either, which is the really shitty part about it. Like, one gel's $3, and then, but you need 5 every time you run.
Yeah. So
$15. If you like Morton, that's going to cost you $27.
Yeah.
It's crazy, you know?
I mean, it is.
And truly, like, you just have to try it. Because
you do.
Like the perfect example is the Saucony Speed 3, Endorphin Speed 3. Mm-hmm. Every single one of my friends' favorite shoe they've ever worn. Mm-hmm. Like, greatest shoe ever made. I cannot wear that shoe for more than 2 miles
without really
exploding. And it's like, it, you know, it's just, it's, I'm the 1% of people who don't love that shoe.
Yeah.
And if I would have just listened to all my friends, I would have thought running was this miserable thing because this shoe.
Totally.
Didn't solve my issues.
Yeah, if you just pushed through it because you felt like you had to, you wanted to be like everybody else, yeah, you would be miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the issue with getting into it, because, like, I look online, I'm like, oh, Kofuzi loves all this. Well, me and Kofuzi are very different dudes. So, yeah. Like, of course we're going to fit differently in this shoe and run differently and have many different thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. So leading up to the marathon, so you've gone through training already, you've got your coach by you, you've kind of worked your way all the way through your plan, now you're a week out from your marathon. That's usually when people start to ask me about kind of like emotions and what was going through my head and if I was, what I was doing to prepare for that week before. So what was the week before your marathon like for you?
I was so relaxed.
Were you? That's crazy.
So I did two things in training that I think really benefited me here. One, I just ran a ton of races. Local 5Ks, 10Ks, half marathons, whatever. I wanted to just be in the race setting with a start and a finish line as often as possible, because even like the local 5Ks when I first started, the nerves were there. I was like,
oh, totally. Yeah, the environment's intense.
Yeah. And so the more that I put myself on the start line, the more I could just be like, okay, just another run, just another day. Just another experience. You know, there's other people here, of course, and everybody's got the same goal to go out, have fun, run a good race, and, you know, do their best. So I think that leading up to it, that's all I was telling myself. It's just another long run.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and I tapered super hard. I definitely relaxed. I think I was more stressed about the social events that were going to go on. Like, I had a shakeout run set up for myself. And then I was a guest at a couple others, and it was just like, that's the stuff I was more nervous about, was like the logistics of those things, which is so sad. I'm like, oh yeah, people are going to show up. I don't need to worry about it as much as I am right now.
Was it because you were hosting them, or you were like a featured guest there, or like what made you nervous about the pre stuff?
It was my first ever time doing that, right? Center of attention on purpose. As like the TikTok thing blew up a little bit, like the local scene, I started seeing a lot more people. I knew who I was, and like, that was cool, but it was never overwhelming. New York was the first time I was super overwhelmed. Like, the first time that it was just like, wow, this is a very real thing and it's taking over. So it was just like, I didn't know what to expect that beginning of the week, and I didn't know how to handle it during the weekend and then race day. So it was kind of just like, all just, you know, taking it as it comes and trying to soak it all in.
Yeah, I could see where that would be stressful, though. I mean, you've got this marathon coming up, obviously. You're about to do this thing for the first time, but you've got to balance the social aspect of the whole thing. And also, you said they were shakeout runs, right? So you also have to, I guess, perform in front of people at the same time. I'm sure that was stressful leading up.
Yeah, I mean, I led the shakeout run, and
Yeah.
there was 250 people there, and
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
there were probably 27 different Strava maps.
Oh my gosh.
We went through Central Park, and there's left-hand turns and right-hand
Yeah.
turns. So we all got lost. We all just ended up in the same place, but everybody ran somewhere between 2.7 miles and 6.4 miles. But we all got free t-shirts, and it was a
You
great
go.
time. So that was really cool, but it was hilarious just because it's like nobody should have ever left me. It was me and my buddy Sean, our hosts, and
Yeah.
we were literally walking over to it, like talking like, where are we gonna run? Like, I'm like, parks
Any ideas?
go in there.
Yeah.
And then, one thing happens and half the group turns for some reason. Another group turned, so it was an experience to say the least. I think it
Yeah.
was fun.
That's cool though. I mean, that's a unique experience to have leading in New York City Marathon, leading a shakeout run in Central Park is something that not very many people can say.
Yeah, that's very true. We got extremely lucky. The opening ceremonies for the marathon were the same exact time. So as we were turning around the loop in Central Park, we turned our head and there's fireworks going off.
Oh,
And it was
wow.
like that scene out of The Sandlot, if you've ever seen it, the 4th of July
Yeah.
scene when they're playing baseball under the fireworks. And it was just like, I'm sitting here, and then I have this weird fascination with Simon and Garfunkel's concert at Central Park back in the 70s. And I'm like, we're standing where people were watching Simon and
Oh,
Garfunkel.
that's so
And
cool.
it was truly awesome. And the fireworks just made for something like a beautiful spectacle. So,
Yeah, that's so cool.
it was unorganized chaos, but it worked out so well.
Very cool. Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. So I guess then day out or day before, because that's the other one that I was pretty nervous the night before. Were you still pretty calm, cool, and collected at that point, or day before is that when the nerves started to kick in?
No, I was still super calm, cool, and collected. So that morning we had a Believe in the Run shakeout, and then I was like, I'm gonna get in the first Uber out of there and go straight to the hotel, lay down, not do a single thing. Because up until that point, it was like my shakeout run, there was another event and Believe in the Run event, and it was just like a lot of socialization, a lot of stuff like that. I just needed to
Yeah.
relax. So I went back to the hotel, put my feet up, and yeah, I turned off my phone for a while, honestly.
Probably smart.
I think it was the beginning of the hockey season. It was some sporting event going on, and I just watched that all day long. And just then I turned on my phone to post a picture of my flat lay that night, and then went to bed. And I didn't really have any issues. I fell asleep pretty easily. I woke up like five times thinking I missed my alarm, but
Yeah.
outside of
Just the
that,
anxious energy. I don't
yeah.
think anyone gets a good night's sleep the night before their marathon. If you do, you're insane.
Yeah, if you do, I need some strategy because I
Definitely.
was just on edge. And then we have to get to the buses at like 5 a.m. We were up at like 4 in the morning. It was absolutely
Jeez.
ridiculous.
Yeah. So morning of, you're on the bus, 5 in the morning, you get to the start line. What was going through your head at that point?
Starline, I was still super chill. You know what was going through my head? I was thinking, damn, everybody who keeps saying the Verrazano is not that bad is just lying to us. I'm like looking up into the Verrazano.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until like probably like mile 14 when I was like, oh, I'm running a full marathon right now. Like it didn't
It
hit me.
finally set in. Yeah.
It was after the point where I was like, oh, we're only halfway
Yeah.
there.
I can resonate with that for sure. As soon as I saw the half marathoners split off for my first one, I was like, "Oh my God, okay. We're gonna be here for a minute. We're gonna be here for another half of this thing."
The biggest lie in the world is that the half or the marathon's just double as hard as the half. It's like
No.
47 times harder.
100%. Yeah.
The last 6 miles of a marathon, you really discover a new part of you.
Yeah.
Like
Yeah.
you don't know.
Totally.
Yeah, there's demons that you've never seen in your life before that you can only
Yep.
pull in the last 6 miles of the marathon.
And it's funny because I don't know if you felt like this too, but my longest long run before I ran the marathon was 20 miles. And I was thinking, or from what everyone was telling me, if you can run 20, you can run 26. So I was like, the last six are going to be no problem. There's going to be a lot of adrenaline. We'll be just fine. But then when it was actually happening to me, I was like, oh my God, this is not what I expected at all.
Woods will carry me, right?
Yeah, they'll just bring me through, right? I'll be fine.
It's not that easy. I wish it was. Because they also didn't tell me that Fifth Avenue was so much worse than every bridge on that course.
Which really?
Apparently the bridges are the worst. No, they're not. Fifth Avenue is 4 miles long and all uphill.
Oh, jeez.
And the finish line's uphill. They don't tell you any of this before going into the New York. If you're listening during the New York City Marathon, just know, like, the back half is brutal.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep it straight up with you. Like, yeah. It sucks.
Is Fifth Avenue just like a steady incline? Is that why it's much harder? It's just like a longer incline?
It's just a long incline, and the worst part is it's like a road that goes up, and then through like crosswalks and lights, it flattens out for just about, I don't know, 300 feet. And then it goes up again, and then it flattens out. And you, like, get this, like, little hope in your mind that, it flattened out. Like, maybe the next uphill will be as bad.
Yeah.
And then it's just worse. And then it flattens out, and it's worse again. And you're just like, this...
never ends.
It really feels like it never ends, because you're just looking up the whole time, and you have Central Park on your right-hand side the whole time. Yeah. And it just looks the same the whole way. And you're just like, what is happening? And then, you know...
brutal.
The New York City Marathon also, at mile, like... first of all, the race is 26.8 miles. Like, everybody who runs it always comes in way over. Even if you stay, hug the blue line that keeps you right in the perfect 26.2, it's never.
It won't.
Anywhere near. I was at 26.2 when it said I hit 26.
Oh, so brutal.
So at mile 26.4, they make you jump onto a sidewalk to come back into Central Park. It's well taped off, but... having to step up onto a sidewalk at that,
that's just mean.
Just rude.
Yeah, like, that's just mean.
Oh, it's horrible.
Whoever designed that course needs some help. That's for sure.
What's his name? Brilliant guy, really great dude. I can't think of anything right
now. So where did you feel like your best miles were, and where do you feel like your worst miles were for the marathon?
My best miles were 10 through 18. 10 through 18, I felt like I was just on cruise control, chilling, having a good time. I was running with this dude, Sammy. He was really nice. And then at mile 18, I pick up my friend Riley. She came along for the ride. And then at mile 19 is when I got sick. So that's my worst miles happened. And, it's funny because my bib, like my tracking stopped working.
Oh no.
Yeah. So my bib, so I'm getting like texts all over the place. Like, are you okay? Did you leave the course? Are you done? I'm like, yeah.
Oh geez.
I was just throwing off the side of this bridge. Like, and apparently because I like went to like throw up off the side of a bridge, it like took my tracking off the course or something. It ended up working in the end.
Yeah. But,
like, for like an hour of the race, people had no clue where I was, and I got a lot of people that were like, oh, dude, you thought you had DNF. Like, and I'm like, I will walk this entire course before I DNF.
Yeah, yeah. Were you freaking out, though? Were you like, is this going to count? Are they recording my time?
No, I wasn't worried about that at all. They have technology to figure it out, right?
Yeah.
You run over so many of those, like, little cords in the road.
Like checkpoints, track,
yeah. Yeah, checkpoints. And then also, like, not that there's anything wrong with running a 5:13 marathon, but I don't think anybody's cheating to run a 5:13.
That's a very good point.
I don't think that they need to really be on top of you.
Yeah, you're not trying to pull a fast one on them. You're... That's funny. Yeah, I didn't think about it like that. Well, cool. So what was the finish line like for you? Like, I know everybody talks about their finish line feeling, but being your first marathon, being the New York City Marathon with all of that energy, like, what was that feeling like for you?
Oh, it was every emotion that I could ever imagine.
Yeah.
I made sure, this is the thing I'm most stoked that I did. I took my last clip like a full quarter mile, if not more, ahead of time before the finish line, just so I could take it all in. I didn't want to have to think about video or anything. I just wanted to go soak it all in. And I blacked out for probably like 30 seconds. I watched the feedback, like the film, like finish line stream or whatever. And I
put
my arms above my head, and I don't remember thinking, oh, I need to put my arms above my head or anything.
Just but felt that, right.
It just felt right. And then I just started walking and like breathing and just like checking in with my body. Cause I'm like, okay, yeah, arms, legs, we're good. We're just walking.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all here.
Because somebody right next to me had just collapsed. And I was like, let's avoid that right now.
But yeah.
Then they start just handing you stuff left and right. They're like, here's a bag. Here's a water. Here's a towel. Here's this. And I'm like holding it in my arms. I'm just like, I need to sit down. And then they put this cape over you, but you need but then you need two hands to hold a cape.
Hold
but
it. You're holding
all this other stuff. And I'm just like, what's going on? And then, you know, the worst, you know, I've given the New York City Marathon a little bit of hate here. It's the greatest marathon in the world. And I can't wait to run again in the fall. But it is a mile, maybe even 2 mile walk out of Central Park to go find Civil Age.
Stop. You have to, after the finish line, you mean?
After the finish line, you have to walk for at least 20 minutes. And it's like the you're just watching people like hobble and like look like ghosts, and it's just like, why is it set up that way? Why
that is something.
And they have people yelling at you, so like people will stop and sit or, you know, do whatever they want to do. And they're like, keep walking. They don't want anybody, you know, obviously getting stuck, I understand, but like,
sure.
That's a lot of pressure right
it's
now.
Like my legs aren't working right now, so give me a sec.
They also have a huge med tent there, so like if you do like need it, you know, you're off to the left. But yeah, they don't tell you that part either. It's just a long, long walk back to wherever you need to go.
Yeah, that sucks. I might just pull off in the med tent just so I can take a quick break before I have to hike back to my wherever I'm going. Yeah.
Oh, and also cell phones don't work at the time, so because there's just so many cell phones that you just have to like look at the map beforehand and be like,
figure
we're
going to
meet in this corner.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
God, that's brutal.
It felt like I was back in the '80s. I don't know. When did we not have phones?
God, yeah. God, that's crazy. That 2 miles would get me too. That would just do it for me at the end of the marathon. I'd be like, I'm sitting, I can hear you yelling at me, but I'm going to sit for a second.
Yeah. And they also, in the bag, they had, like, these protein bars. They're like, make sure to start eating your protein bars. I'm like, I think the last thing on earth right now that I want to eat is a chocolate protein
bar. Yeah.
Like, give me a pizza or something.
Yeah.
That was...
They always did. They do have questionable snacks at the end of these things. I've noticed that, too. Like, it'll always be not what I'm looking to have at the end of a long race like that.
Yeah, it's like that. They also had a protein shake, and I'm like, also not what I want.
Do you want me to puke again? Then I'll drink that. Sure. But
I probably should drink it, but I don't want it.
No.
Yeah, it's whoever sponsors it. So.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Cool. Well, so did you have any doubt in your mind? Well, I guess you kind of had said that you'd basically crawl to the finish line, but when you were feeling sick, when you were towards the end, was there any doubt in your mind about, like, God, can I finish this thing? Is my health going to be good enough to get me through? Like, any of that?
No, there was never a doubt. It was just, like, how much more is it going to suck? Like,
yeah.
How much harder is this going to get? It was never, like, never seemed impossible. It was just, like, how hard can I push? And, like, what's going to feel best to get me there?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a video of me seeing my parents at like 20 mile 24. It's like, do you guys have salt? Like, just straight up salt. Can I just pour that in my mouth? Because like, that's what sounded good at the time.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, there's a lot of pain and a lot of, you know, discomfort, but boy, I'm going to cross that finish line. It doesn't matter what comes.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there anything that you were kind of telling yourself during that point to keep yourself going? Like, I know a lot of people will buy into mantras or sayings that they'll say to themselves when things get tough in a race like that.
Honestly, I don't remember.
Blacked out.
I really did. I remember seeing the mile 25 sign being like, okay, we're there. like, mm-hmm. you're good now, just start jogging. And I was able to jog it in from there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I was just counting down the miles. Like,
yeah.
And trying to, like, equate it to where I run here in Boston. Because, like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, that's, like, just running over the mass average. We can do that.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
handily. And then, I don't know. I don't think I really said anything else. And I was doing a lot of listening at that point. I went from being really in my head to being like, I need to listen to people like cheer for me. Like, take that, yeah. use it.
Yeah.
You can't like use it to your advantage that like people are there and they're cheering, they're calling for you.
Yeah.
I have no idea who you are, but that's awesome.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think there was that. And then you get to like the shoot, right? Like the final shoot, and there's grandstands on both sides, so you start looking up around those, and that's pretty cool. But you're also kind of like, all right, don't, this is, if you're gonna collapse, this is not the place to do it.
Yeah. In front of everyone.
Yeah, there's way too many eyeballs right now, so
yeah,
keep it up right here. And you know what's great, I ran into this gal Sarah who I had met a couple days before, and she hosts runs here in Boston. We know many times, which is fantastic. Cool.
Yeah.
And, but she and I, like, she just kind of kicked me in the ass in, like, the last, like, half mile. She was like, hey, let's go. Come on. And so, boom, that helped me a ton, too.
Yeah. The community around you is huge. I know we said that earlier, but just having people around you that are going to push you, having other runners around you that are going to push you, it's so important. And especially on race day, it's so helpful.
Oh, it's amazing. And the amount of people that you either meet or just know out on the course, like Cynthia, she's also on Instagram and TikTok. She's the runner girl, but I ran into her like mile 20 or so, and we got to run together for a while. And she,
so
and,
like, cool.
We expressed the same sentiment. It was like, all I needed right now was a friend. And like,
yeah,
we both came into each other at the same time, which was awesome because like, it's true. Like all I needed in that moment was just like someone to talk to me and distract me for a couple.
Yeah.
Minutes.
Yeah.
And it went so far. And then, you know, you meet other people throughout the course. You know, at the time I was sponsored by this company, VPN.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking to anybody who had like the like red go one more hat. I met this cool dude, Luigi, and like we ran a bunch of miles together. So it's like, it's so cool. Just like,
yeah, you know,
you're all doing this marathon thing. If people are down to talk, you can make friends too.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's really cool. Cool. So post-marathon, I know we've talked a little bit about ultra-marathons, but what's been your motivation to dive into that world post your first marathon?
So I think, like I said earlier, like the idea of running as far as I can
just
gets me fired up. Like, how far can I go before I collapse?
Yeah.
So that fascinates me. I, on social media, feel as though I've been welcomed by that community.
Totally.
A lot more. Not that the road running community hasn't been incredibly welcoming, because they have, but the ultra community, just, they're more of my people. We're all kind of different, and we eat and walk and, you know, don't take ourselves too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there was like a lot of comfort in that. So then I went and I did my first ultra, and it was a blast. And the community there was awesome. There were people making quesadillas all day and out, and, you know, I got to walk with some really cool people that I had no clue that, like, how many people have actually run 100-mile races, but
yeah,
a whole group of them that were there had, and we're chatting about that. So it's like, you know, it's just a whole different experience. Nobody's there to, you know, I don't want to say nobody's there to win, because there's obviously people there to win,
right?
But nobody's there to rip your throat out,
you know? right
there to hurt you. If you win, you win, that's awesome. But if you don't, you also, like, had a great time and you're chilling. That made me very excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. That's something that I've thought about, too. It's like, I think once you hit the 26-mile distance, you have to make a decision. You either get into ultra running or you try to get a little faster at whatever you're trying to, whatever distance you're focusing on.
Do it again.
Or do it again, yeah.
I can't imagine. I finished up New York City and like I was kind of beat up and I was like, I can still go further. Like I can do
really
that. yeah I was like, this sucked, but like it was a good suck. Like,
yeah,
there, I don't know how people cross the finish line, they're like, I'm never doing that again.
I know. I don't understand that either. Yeah.
Like, I just want to keep going. Now I
want
to do it again.
That's how I felt after my first, like, very first half marathon, too. I was like, I don't know how people could do this and quit, because I'm never going to be this in shape again in my life. And if I stop running, I'm going to have to start this whole thing over again. And then there's no chance I'm doing that. So, it blows my mind when people just kind of do it and quit.
Yeah, it's crazy to me. I mean, I get it. Like, I can understand, like, maybe that was the thing that, like, that itch that, you know, you were able to scratch. That's awesome. If you can do that.
Good for you. Yeah.
Because I am nowhere near that, which is the real issue here. I've also taken a horrible liking to this comment that Casey Neistat made that was like, if there's ever a point in my life where I can't run a marathon at the drop of a hat, not necessarily run it fast or anything like that, but just go be able to make it 26.2,
yeah,
and I need to like reevaluate and like get back in shape. I'm like,
that's cool.
I kind of feel like I'm gonna get there.
And yeah,
like, that doesn't sound like the healthiest mindset, but also it's not a horrible.
No, it's a cool way to live your life, to be to have that baseline be so high for yourself, or that expectation be so high for yourself that you want to maintain a minimum of, you know, being able to run 26 miles is pretty intense.
Yeah, I would say so. I agree.
Cool. Well, looking back on everything, what advice would you give to somebody that's just kind of starting out? They're thinking about signing up for their first marathon or thinking about signing up for their first half marathon. What advice would you give?
Do it. First and foremost, you got to sign up to have a goal, right? You have to have a firm date to be able to chase and like understand. So whether you've run many miles, like 10, 15, beforehand, or you're at 10K, kind of base it off that, you know, and see, you know, how much time do I need to be able to train to get to that distance?
Yeah.
But you really just, you have to sign up. That was the thing for me. Like, then I knew the New York City Marathon was the goal, and it was like, I need to do everything I can to get a spot and get to sign up. But beforehand, I think I had signed up for a half marathon. I can't remember. I signed up for a race. It was longer than 10K, but it was shorter than a marathon. So it was somewhere in there. I can't remember what it was. But
like a 10-miler, maybe.
It might have been the Baltimore 10-miler, actually. Mm-hmm. And it was like, that's like a good goal to chase, like a
totally
good race and to go and, you know, get done. And then you have to chase it. You have to go into the unknown and just be like, I don't know what's gonna happen.
Yeah,
it's either gonna be a lot of fun or I'm gonna have a lot of regret. And
you're still, and you usually don't. Yeah,
better. Yeah, exactly. You're gonna come out better on the other side. So if you're contemplating, if you're thinking about it, just do it. Just do it. And also, you don't have to run a world marathon major like I did to kick things off.
Pick something local if you're having a hard time wrapping your mind around it. Something that you don't have to take a flight to, you don't have to commit up like time to stay in a hotel or anything like that. Just make it easy on yourself.
Exactly. Unless you really want to do like a destination marathon, because that'd be pretty
cool. Which is fun. Yeah.
Yeah, like if you want to go do like the Rome Marathon. I hear lovely things about the Rome Marathon. It's not a world marathon.
That would be cool.
You can pretty much just sign up. Like, maybe that could also be, like, a little vacation and marathon.
You know,
depending on how you want to treat it.
Yeah, yeah. But to your point, I think it's important to just get something on the calendar. It's not going to be a goal until you have something concrete to work towards. It's also really hard to put together a training plan for yourself, something to stick to, if you don't have an end point, you know?
Yeah, it's, like, you can either have too much or you can have too little. And if you don't have, you know, an end point, then you're just going to be stuck in a cycle probably. You'll also probably become incredibly bored of it because, you know, you're just constantly training.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Cool. Well, a couple, I guess, closing questions, just something that I want to ask everybody at the end so we can start to compile a list of everybody's favorites. We talked about nutrition a little bit. What's your favorite gel, fuel that you go for?
So I'm just doing whole foods, it's of course a donut. But in terms of the nutrition, I'm loving Cliff Blocks.
Okay. You know? Yeah.
Like just gummy bears, and they really seem to be working for me. So that's the go-to.
Yeah. What about shoes? And what shoes do you love / what shoes do you not love? I know you talked about the Saucony's a little bit, but
see, the thing is, I love Saucony. That's the only shoe I don't like, and I love the Speed Force. So they redeem themselves very quickly. Oh my god, I love so many shoes right now. The New Balance Rebel V4 might be my favorite daily trainer ever, which was tough to beat because the Nova Blast was also on there. I love both the new Endorphin Pro and the Endorphin Speed by Saucony. I'm enjoying a lot of these 2024 shoes that have come out recently. I'll even give an honorary shout out to On for making one halfway decent shoe. The Cloud Eclipse. It's the only On shoe I can wear without ripping apart my IT bands, my calves, my shins, and feet.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I've heard conflicting. I've never tried them myself, but I have heard kind of conflicting feedback on them.
Yeah, I mean, the technology is just not made for big dudes. Somebody at a shoe store once told me that they have a weight limit.
And really?
I've reached out to them about it. I've asked. They will not confirm it. They will also not deny it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I don't know, but the Cloud Eclipse it's a halfway decent shoe.
That one's fine. Okay, good to know.
What else am I wearing? Oh, the new Alpha Fly is actually shockingly fun, even for slower paces. It's very like soft, squishy, enjoyable. So as long as your foot's not too wide, which is like the only issue I could foresee with the shoe, it's actually a lot of fun, no matter the pace you're going.
Cool. What's your current race day shoe?
So in London, so I'm fighting a little bit of a shin issue right now with my one leg. So depending on how I'm feeling, I'm either going to wear the SC Elite V4 or I'm going to actually wear the Rebel, which my favorite shoe right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Just depending on how I'm feeling kind of going into race day there.
Cool.
Seeing how it's going.
Yeah, cool. And last question is just what's next for you? I know you've been talking about this London race. What are you training for right now?
Yeah, so I have the London Marathon in, 2 weeks to the day.
Exciting. It flies by.
It really does. And then after that, I have Grandma's Marathon in June. So that's going to be my A race. That's the one that I'm... So London, I think we're going to keep it hearty pace, chill, have a good time. And then Grandma's is the one I'm going to try and go after a little
bit. Go for it. Cool. Yeah.
And then in the fall, I have the Toronto Waterfront Marathon in October. A bunch of us here in Boston didn't get into Chicago on the same day, and we're like, screw it, we're going to put Toronto Waterfront Marathon on the map.
There you go.
So we're heading to Toronto in October.
Cool.
I might run New York again. I don't know yet. And I'll probably do the same ultra that I did last year, the loop race.
Very so, cool. Lots coming up.
A lot of stuff. I'll be at all of the at least American major marathons this year.
Cool. So.
The schedule is already
busy.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's insane.
Very cool. And then where can we find you? I know a lot of people know who you are, but where can we find you and anything else you want to plug?
Yeah, no, you can find me on Instagram and TikTok. It's at Herm Runs. Instagram has a period in between Herm and Runs. And if you are ever in or near the Boston area, I just started a run club. It's called the Not Yet Named Run Club. And they have an Instagram page too. It'll just tell you the times and dates that we're going to be running together. Nothing to it. It's not like an Instagram page that's going to sell you anything. It's just informational.
Just a community. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all it is. I don't want it to turn into anything where I'm selling things or or anything like that.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It was awesome talking to you and getting to meet you. I feel like you came across my FYP a couple of years ago when I was or a year ago when I was looking to start my running journey. So it's great to finally meet you in person.
Awesome. Thank you, Taylor. This was a blast.
Appreciate it.